All you have to do is let go. Everything has always been there for you. The universe is taking care of you. You are love. You are everything. Drop the false self and trust the process of life. I'm Richard Dugan. It's time now for Tell Me Your Story. My guest, Mirabai Devi, is going to be talking with us about Darshan. She's the author of Samadhi, Essence of the Divine. Stay tuned. This is Tell Me Your Story.
Walk with me. Talk with me.
It's understanding. That's what it's about. We get together here on a Saturday afternoon, a ritual, a tradition, a happening, if you will, to share ideas across the airwaves, across the table, put the ideas on the table, take what you'd like. It's a smorgasbord, and that's what we're here to do. New paradigms for a new world. I have to chuckle because some of the comments that I have been shared with me about the program, and some people think I'm starting a new religion. No, not in any way, shape, or form. I'm only sort of promoting and exposing, in a good way, in a positive light, the ideas, the beliefs, the concepts that are out there for those to consider. You can out and out reject them. You can embrace them wholeheartedly, or take the pieces that you want and leave the rest for someone else. It's kind of that way. Don't we do that with education as well? I mean, you know, you take the classes you want, the electives. Most of us prefer the electives. Today we're going to be talking about Darshan. What is Darshan? And we're going to get an explanation of Darshan from our guest, Mirabai Devi. And Mirabai, it's a pleasure to have you on our program today.
Thank you so much, Richard. It's an honor and a privilege to be on your show.
Let me ask you to quickly, before we go to our first break, define for me, what is Darshan?
Darshan means the transmission of the divine light, or to have the vision of God.
Okay. And is this something that anyone can achieve?
Anyone can receive Darshan publicly at any time, and very few people are able to give it.
Okay, well, we're going to find out how the giving and receiving of Darshan how it takes place here on our program today with Mirabai Devi here on Tell Me Your Story. And if you have any questions, please feel free to give us a call, 564-1290, 564-1290, or if you're listening live on the stream on the internet, 866-564-1290. And I've got some exciting news. I'm about to burst to tell you, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold you in suspense. Stay with us here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I'm all ears if you would like to do just that. Today, it's Mirabai Devi. She's going to be talking with us about her story, Darshan, as well as many other issues. And we've actually already scheduled her for another appearance in 2009, if you can believe that. And it's a pleasure to have you here in 2008. The day after what most people consider, Mirabai, a rather auspicious day, 888. Now, people keep saying 8808, but I mean, they're just all eights. It's like the day of infinity.
Yeah, that's right.
Give me your take, your perspective on that.
Well, my experience of it was that there was a tremendous amount of cleansing or purification that took place on that day, that a lot of the old energies were leaving and a lot of the new energies were coming in, both on an individual basis and on a global basis. So people were cleaning out the old and birthing the new.
And this was on a global basis, as you say. I'm just wondering if, I mean, is everybody quite literally using the same calendar? Because those are some discussions that have gone on. The Julian calendar, I believe, is the one that we use pretty universally on the planet. But there were other calendars that were used before, like the Mayan calendar in particular.
Yeah, the Mayan calendar particularly is predicting more major earth changes around 2012.
Mm-hmm.
That's when things are really supposed to, you know, take shape and have a major transition on the earth. And I'm sure you know all about that,
mm-hmm.
the predictions for the prophecies and also the Hopi calendar and the Hopi prophecies. There's a lot of traditional cultures that have prophesied this period we're in now as the time of times. It's a very intense time for earth changes on the planet.
Well, I'm hoping that we have a more of a dramatic event than what was experienced in reference to Y2K. And virtually nothing happened on that day, and it was predicted that all kinds of chaos due to computer issues was going to take place because the computers didn't know how to flip over to 2000. Well, they did just fine, and so did we. And what we want to talk about is Darshan and this divine light, the transmission of this divine light. As we start talking about this, I'd like for people to get to know you a little bit better. How did you begin your journey?
Okay, well, my journey began when I was 3 years old, and I was surrounded by spiritual masters and had many teachings and awakenings and vision states that they were, you know, transmitting into me, and I saw that all of these masters that stood around my bed at night all had the same eyes. And I said, well, how come you all have the same eyes? You all basically look the same. Your eyes have the same expression and are the exact identical same eyes. And they said, that's because we're in a state of oneness. And in the state of oneness, we're all one. And one day you will realize this too. You'll realize the state of oneness. And you'll realize that you are one of us and one with us. And at the time, I didn't know what that meant. But at about 7 years old, I began to have some very dramatic spiritual experiences, which accelerated all the way through into my 20s, and finally had a major awakening in my early 20s and was in a state for about 8 weeks in India in my early 20s of what they call an awakened state or a state of unity consciousness or samadhi or there's many different names for it, many mm-hmm. different terms, and I'm using the English ones here mm-hmm. so people can recognize them.
And you've even written a book entitled Samadhi, Essence of the Divine.
Correct. I've written a book entitled Samadhi, Essence of the Divine, and that book is based on my awakening into higher states of consciousness. And during that 8 week state of in India, I was really unable to. The only way I can describe it to people is that it's like a near death experience where you see the light, you see the truth, you understand, you feel the deepest peace you've ever experienced in your life, and you're given a full understanding of why we're here, what we're here to do, you know, what the purpose of life is, and you know, who we are, and your true nature is revealed to you. Your divine nature is fully unveiled and revealed to you, and you become one with God and one with the universal self, one with cosmic consciousness, and one with all life. And in that state of oneness, all knowledge is revealed to you. And it's very hard to come back to being a human being after that state.
I know.
Yeah,
I know that people have felt that way, whether it's near-death experiences or for that matter, what you describe reminds me of what I read about in the autobiography of a yogi,
yes.
where Paramahansa was slapped on the chest by his teacher and guru Sri Yukteswar,
yes.
and he experienced total awareness of everything that was going on around him.
Yes,
and I thought that sounds a little bit like seeing 360 degrees in all directions and being aware in that respect. So this is part of the process that you went through. But you say it feels like you don't want to come back. I mean, did you get the sense that, well, I may not want to come back, but I know that I need to?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely got the sense that I didn't want to come back, and I feel like I came back kicking and screaming.
So let's talk a little bit more about Darshan, again, the divine light, and not so much asking where it comes from, although we could put that out there, because maybe some people don't know where it comes from.
Is that a question?
That is a question.
Okay. The divine light comes from the divine. The divine is the source of all energy, all power that illuminates and creates the universe, and the divine is unmanifest. It's not just the entire creation, that's just its body and what it expresses itself to and what it through and what it inhabits. But the divine is actually the unmanifest force behind and beyond creation. And that's where the light comes from. It comes from the unmanifest force of power that creates the universe.
When one receives this divine light, when it's transmitted to them or what have you. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well, because there is the giving and the receiving, if you will. I mean, you are one, I'm understanding, who can transmit or share this light with an individual who is ready to receive, correct?
Yes.
For someone who, say, is ready to receive this divine light, for those of us who, and I may be in that category, are not fully aware of the purposes thereof, what will we receive / achieve, if that's even the right word, with this divine light?
That's a very good question, Richard. The divine light is the highest frequency in the universe, and it's the energy of divine grace. And when that divine grace comes through, it literally has the power to instantaneously heal the body from any physical illness. It has the power to clear up any relationship problem. It has the power to open the heart deeply to learn how to live in love and be in love. It has the power to create an ecstatic experience in the body, like a bubbling champagne feeling that we describe as a bubbling bliss. It's like champagne.
Would you say that most people have had a momentary feeling, that concept?
No, I wouldn't. I feel that most people, I've worked with hundreds of thousands of people all over the world as a spiritual teacher for the past 15 years, you know, multiple countries, and most people have never really experienced that, and it's more in the minority, not very few. There are a minority of people who've experienced the bubbling bliss, but it usually comes if they're in service, in some form of service work. It's while being in service to another that current of energy can be brought through, or an artist, you know, or a poet, or, you know, any form of artist doing their art can have that moment of ecstasy as the energy comes through them, you know. So I think that it does come through to the minority, but really that minority are more, you know, people who are in service in some way through their art.
Well, I know that in certain cases when I've been working in certain areas such as this, from time to time I will get an euphoric kind of feeling inside. Is that even close?
Yeah, that is close. A euphoric feeling is close. I mean, the bubbling bliss is very specific feeling. It sort of feels like champagne going through the body, and it feels like sort of a little high and a little giddy, and some people feel like they're not even touching the ground, like they're walking on clouds for a couple of days. And I know that sounds very airy-fairy, and what use would that be? But the truth is that it actually takes off the lens, and it changes and puts a new lens onto reality, and reality can go for a person from being depressing, negative, and seemingly hopeless, mm-hmm. to instantly being transformed into something exciting and easy and clear and straightforward and very, very wonderful indeed.
So you don't just transmit this divine light, this energy, to just anyone. They need to have reached a certain level of awareness and training and so forth. Are there steps that one who might be listening saying, I would love to reach that state because I want to be of greater service, I just don't know how. Are there steps that one can take to prepare themselves for this divine light?
Yeah, actually everybody can receive the divine light. Everybody and anybody can come openly and freely to receive it. It's just that fewer people actually experience that bubbling bliss. I mean, it's not that uncommon. Maybe out of every public darshan I give, you know, I'm sure at least 10 out of 100 people experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are more advanced spiritually, then they may all experience it. So the steps to prepare yourself are mantra, prayer, meditation, breath work, personal growth work, journaling, and any form of spiritual awakening through having a teacher or guide on the path.
And so help me to understand further that by receiving this divine light, it doesn't make them necessarily superior than anyone else. It just has given them sort of a wonderful, shall we say, boost to their progress in terms of the life that they live here. They are not as angry, or they don't allow themselves to be moved by the shifting tides of events that happen around them, whether they see them on the news or that they happen in the workplace or out on the highway, that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is that that nobody is superior to anyone else. It's just a different state of consciousness. And when the state of consciousness shifts, then, yeah, everything on the outside looks beautiful. Instead of looking painful and terrible, it looks beautiful because our lens has changed.
Now, you have a very beautiful website, by the way, that people can go to, and they can get there by going through richarddugan.com and go to the link that is available on the radio show's page where this interview, this program will be available following the broadcast. And you have a lot of information. You hold, as you've said before, classes and various workshops and things of this nature. You also, again, do one-on-one work. From your experience, in this time frame, in, let's say, the last 6 months to a year or so, what is the one thing that most people are crying out for that you're experiencing with?
That's a very good question. I'd say the one thing that most people are crying out for is, one, happiness. And then as a subcategory within that happiness is learning to love themselves.
What is, say, the one thing that is keeping most of us from achieving that happiness and a love of self?
I'd say that the one thing that's keeping us from that are internal conditioning and programming that's programmed towards negativity towards the self, and blockages that prevent us and inhibit us from having what it is that we want to create in this life. And that comes from our childhood, that comes from our parents, that comes from our lineage, that comes from our ancestry, that programming is in our DNA. So that's why the work that I do one-on-one with people is to change that, to release those blockages, to change the DNA, to change the programming, and to reprogram people to have a beautiful, happy life and live in the moment.
Now, you were born in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Correct.
And
I was.
As you said, from a very young age, you saw the suffering of humanity, and that, I guess, has spurred you on to a deep opening of your own heart, which is still to this day filled with compassion. How did you find yourself here in the United States? Is this just a place to live? It doesn't really make any difference what part of the globe you reside in. The work is the same.
No, actually, no, not at all. I was living in South Africa, and I was guided specifically by the divine to leave South Africa and to come to the United States and to help people all over America, because America is the seat of power to the world. It carries the power. The rest of the world role models themselves off of America. Certainly countries like Africa do, and the Third World, they follow everything that America does, and the consciousness was very low in America and needed to be transformed and uplifted, and a tremendous amount of healing needed to take place in the collective consciousness of the people. And so I was brought very specifically to America to help transform the consciousness and stabilize the earth changes that were occurring here. With the environment, and also to the way that we really stabilize the earth changes is to get enough people to wake up and make changes in their lives for incorporating love over fear, and learning to respect the environment and respect nature and respect one another.
We're talking with Mirabai Devi. She is the author of Samadhi, Essence of the Divine, and she also has a foundation, and we want to talk a little bit about that as well. When did this foundation start, and what is the main purpose?
The purpose of the foundation is to reach humanity and to awaken as many souls as possible by bringing people back home to God, back home to the light, back home to themselves, back home to the truth, back home to the wisdom of the true teachings of the divine, and to get people, you know, to realize and awaken within themselves and to wake up, because by doing that, the consciousness of the planet will raise, of the collective of humanity, which will then help there to not be these massive cataclysms on Earth and Earth changes, which are predicted to come by all the ancient cultures and prophets, which will save the Earth and prevent the Earth from really being destroyed.
Well, we could certainly use with some non-destructive changes in our world. However,
correct.
I've talked with many people who say that sometimes through the birthing process, there is still a great deal of upheaval. So we
there
need
is.
To kind of prepare for that. And we're going to continue talking more about that. Darshan and Mirabai Devi is my guest. And again, we're here on Tell Me Your Story to take your calls. If you'd like to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. 564-1290, 866-564-1290. This is Tell Me Your Story. And in about 2 minutes, I'll share with you some rather exciting news that's coming to the website, richarddugan.com, that'll allow you to participate even more in the radio program and what we're doing here. Stay tuned. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. This is New Paradigms for a New World, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help you fulfill your dreams. If that has to do anything to do with Darshan and receiving the divine light, we encourage you to check us out at the website richarddugan.com. Coming to that website very soon, you will be able to participate in the Tell Me Your Story blog. That's right. I finally figured it out, and it's going to be available to you. Stay with us. We'll have more with Mirabai Devi. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We come to you every Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m., bringing you new paradigms for a new world. What kind of world do you want to live in? Believe it or not, and that's part of what paradigms have to do with, you can actually create the kind of world that you want to live in. And it will then impact the people around you. We certainly hope that it's in a constructive as opposed to destructive format. We're here talking with Mirabai Devi, and she is sharing with us Darshan, the divine light, and how we can is the word tap into this light. Is that an appropriate way to put it?
Sure, yeah, you could say that.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about you a little more here. Why did you choose to become a teacher?
I chose to become a teacher because I was asked by the light to become a teacher. When I had my awakening in India back in the early, when I was in my early 20s, back in the, I think it was early 90s, I was shown the rest of my future, and in the rest of my future I was shown helping groups of people awaken around the globe. And in seeing that, I kind of didn't want to come back. As I mentioned earlier, I came back kicking and screaming. But I realized that instead of being unhappy with the plight of the world, I had an opportunity to help contribute to awaken the world and awaken humanity. And so being a teacher felt like an exciting prospect, because I was not going to be, you know, a victim of the negativity, but rather an inspirational force to bring transformation and change. And so I abided with what I was asked to do and stepped into it promptly in 95, and really started beginning to receive the downloads for what it was I was to teach and what it was I was to do from 1992 on. And it's been about 15 years now that I've been teaching all over the world.
Now, you influence, you connect with, contact, and impact the lives of hundreds of thousands of people through radio programs such as this, through your workshops, seminars, and so forth. But who has impacted you? Who were or are your teachers?
Well, number one, first and foremost, the light is my teacher. I really had a very, very powerful awakening. And in my awakening, I was guided that the light would always be my direct teacher, and would come to me for whatever help that I needed on any level. And that has been consistent throughout my life. And in the process of my awakening and integrating this experience, there have been various role models along the way, mentors and role models along the way. And some of those people have been people that I've gotten to teach alongside with, and we've taught seminars and events together, and some of them have been just non-embodied, you know, spirit teachers, and some of them have been physical teachers who, you know, see millions of people, and I've had very strong inner connections and awakenings with, and some of them I've seen in physical, and some have come to me in dreams. So there's been a whole host of different teachers and mentors that have come as, you know, spiritual role models to me along the way. But there has not been one specific life teacher that I've had. So just, you know, right now I'm most strongly inspired in working with the work of the forgiveness prayers of Howard Wills.
Hmm.
And in working with the mantras of Thomas Ashley Ferrand, and those are both available off of my website, both the forgiveness prayers and the mantras and the work of those two teachers that I teach alongside with, and both role model the spiritual practices that I believe are intricately available and accessible to people to change and transform any situation in their lives along with the divine light. So I would say that currently Howard Wills and what he embodies through the forgiveness prayers and is a, you know, wonderful mentor. And I would also say that, you know, Amichi Amritananda Maima and Mother Meera, both their darshans are very powerful in awakening consciousness on the planet. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, transcendental meditation, has been a wonderful force in getting people all around the globe to learn to meditate, and has been a meditation practice I've done since I was 7 years old. And the list could go on and on.
So many, many people have impacted your life, and now
yes.
you, so to speak, take the torch and continue forward.
Yes.
And we all are sort of, I don't want to say we're required, but it certainly is something that we can each do, pick up the torch, if you will, and carry it in our own way and shine that light on the places that we're sent to.
Yes.
And continue to change this world. It's difficult sometimes. I grapple for words because I don't like to use necessarily the positive, the negative kinds of things, but making this world a better place as opposed to a worse place.
Yeah.
But making it a place that we can all live and work and play. And I think that's something that's lost too. Do you encourage people to do a lot of that playing? Because you talked about happiness as well.
You know, joy is the nature of the soul. And so when people get in touch with themselves, their true self, they can't help but be joyful and happy. And spirituality is about taking yourself lightly. I mean, the angels do. They take themselves so lightly that they can fly. So really, what is it that we're so serious about? It's because this world is a world of suffering. This plane is a plane of suffering. And it's an illusion. Its suffering is real on its level, but when you move into the higher realms of existence, the higher worlds, there isn't that suffering. It doesn't exist. But when you're down here in a body, it sure hurts, and it sure feels real. And so it's really important, I think, to bring the message of joy to people and help people transcend above and beyond the suffering and move into the experience of joy here in this world, in this body, right here and now. And that's entirely possible with the help of prayer, mantra, and the divine light. Anyone can taste that experience of joy.
And you say that as though the real world, the physical world, the outside world, if we want to put it in that case, it really doesn't matter. So if that's the case, why are we here?
Right. When you say it doesn't matter, the truth is that nothing matters on the highest level. You see, reality is structured in consciousness, and knowledge is structured in consciousness. So your level of consciousness reflects what reality you're on. Your level of consciousness reflects what world you're in, basically. And each world has its own set of rules, and each world has knowledge that's applicable to that particular matrix. And this world has certain laws, and those laws are the laws of nature. And the laws of nature are that what we give, we get back. You know, that's the teaching of Jesus. So as we sow, so shall we reap. What you give out, you get back. If you give out negativity, you get back negativity. If you give out positivity, you get back positivity. If you do good, you get back good. If you do bad, you get back bad. So that's how this world really operates.
Mm-hmm.
So on that level of functioning, there is suffering in this world. On the highest level, that suffering doesn't matter, but when you hear it, sure counts. So the paradox of life is, yeah, nothing matters on the highest level, but on this level, everything matters. Everything you say matters, everything you do matters, everything you think matters. Every thought, word, and action need to be in integrity and in impeccability as you walk in love. Being in love is the purpose of life. Being in love is the purpose of our breath. Being in love is the purpose of our existence and the purpose of our world, and what's what every single being, sentient being, is here to learn is how to be in love.
Hmm. It makes me think of the two rules. There's the golden rule that you spoke of, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then there's the, I'll call it the wooden rule. Do unto others as you've had it done unto you. And many, many people are living the wooden rule. Or the concrete rule, however you want to put it. In other words, I'm going to treat people the way they've been treating me instead of the way I'd like to be treated. And that's maybe where we've kind of missed the boat, so to speak. Mirabai Devi is
yes.
My guest. Go ahead.
Correct.
Now, the book Samadhi, Essence of the Divine, is certainly connected with, related to the divine light. Tell us a little bit about this book and how it came about.
Okay, I'd just like to quickly answer what you just said previously, which is that you were just talking about, you know, we were going into the discussion of everything matters, your thought, word, and action. And if people treat you badly and you're abused, for example, verbally, it's very hard, say for a child is abused throughout their whole childhood by a parent, it's very hard to turn that around and move into becoming a very positive and loving and giving person, especially back to the people who abused you. But that was the teachings of Buddha, Christ, Muhammad, and all the great sages, saints, and prophets, was to, you know, as Jesus said, just give the other cheek. I mean, when, you know, love your enemy. And that's the hardest thing to do, is to love, you know, the person who hurts you. But then I always say to my people that I work with, it doesn't mean you have to become a doormat, and it doesn't mean you have to put up with abuse. It just means that you have to do a tremendous amount of inner work to not become the abuser that you, you know, have been exposed to. So we tend to mirror that which we are in close proximity with. So it's a very powerful backbone and strength and courage that's needed, and a real sense of self-determination on the spiritual path to overcome negativity that's been dished out to us. So, yeah, that was to answer your point.
Mm-hmm.
And then your next question, Richard, I'm sorry, you asked me about the book.
About the book. How did it come about?
The book came about because after the spiritual awakening, when the spiritual awakening wore off, in that state for 8 weeks, I had to come back into the world in order to be able to function. I mean, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't have any normal functioning at that point. I was completely immersed into the divine light, and any normal human functioning was not located to a body. I was not conscious of being an individual personality or an individual ego or having an individual body. Although it was there and I was aware of it, I could say I'm contradicting myself, because on the one hand I'm saying I wasn't aware of it, and on the other hand I was saying I'm aware of it. It's sort of a strange paradox. You're located into the universal self, into God consciousness, and at the same time, there's this individuality functioning and doing all of this normal behavior, but you're not sort of, that's not who you are. It's almost like you're watching a movie of that going on, but you're not the doer. You're not in it. So with that going on, I had to come back in order to be able to function in this world after 8 weeks. And I came back into the world, and it took me 4 years to integrate being able to see the physical world and not just see vibrating light and energy. 4 years I saw vibrating light and energy. Hmm. And over the following 10 years, I would go into that state on a weekly or, you know, basis, sometimes biweekly or weekly, and just go into it for a number of hours, up to 24 hours, so that I could maintain my normal human functioning but still maintain that cosmic consciousness. Over 10 years, learned how to integrate that state into everyday waking state of consciousness, where you can walk and act and function normally in this world while at the same time maintaining that state, and then learning how to teach other people how to do it around me, all of my students, because once I'd experienced it, of course I wasn't just given it for myself, the knowledge and the integration. I was given it to help others around me to have the knowledge, the understanding, and the integration to be able to do that for themselves. And that's where it's been at for the last 10 years. And the book was birthed out of those experiences. The book was written from those states of consciousness during my weekly episodes following that 8-week initial episode in 1992. And then all of those experiences were pulled together out of my journals and put together into a book of inspirational truths to awaken others on the spiritual path to the reality that they can find wisdom in the moment when they're seeking it, to step out of their own suffering and pain.
From the book, Samadhi, Essence of the Divine, forgiveness is when you realize that you are just actors. Mirabai Devi is my guest, and her book, Samadhi, is available through her website, and her website is available through richarddugan.com. You can go to that link and click there. But how else can people get a hold of you, by phone and email?
If you go onto my website, which is mirabaidevi.org, that's mirabaidevi.org, on the Contact Us page is the number of my national office, the phone number, the email. There's also information about private sessions, and there's also information about upcoming workshops and retreats and darshans that are available in different cities around the U.S. over the, you know, the course of the remainder of the year. I'll be traveling quite a bit between the East Coast and the West Coast, and also internationally this year, inviting people to come on pilgrimage with me.
What kind of what happens on these pilgrimages? If you can share a little bit of that.
I've taken a couple of pilgrimages to some sacred places in the world and sacred sites to really get people into the energy, into the juice of a land that is filled with a tremendous connection to the divine. For example, Israel, I've taken groups of people to the sacred sites in Israel. I've also taken people to meet shamans and psychic surgeons in Brazil, and this year to meet shamans and spiritual teachers in Peru, in Machu Picchu, coming up in October. Mm-hmm. And I've also taken people through South and North India, along with other, co-facilitated with other teachers, to pilgrimage spots in India, ashrams, sanctuaries, high beings, sacred places, and so forth in North and South India, and also to swim with the dolphins in the Bahamas, in the Caribbean, because the dolphins are master teachers and angelic beings. So lots of exciting things, and all of that is available on my website.
And again, that is mirabaidevi.org, M-I-R-A-B as in boy, A-I-D as in David, E-V-I.org. You can also call 760-436-6561. That's 760-436-6561. The one thought before we go to break that I wanted to share with you, and that is that some time ago I used to think that I want to change the world, but I'm only one person. And I think that a lot of people have felt that way. And so in many cases, they don't feel like they can do anything. But what I'm sensing now is people, they don't quite feel it quite that way. They say, I want to help change the world, and I'm going to do what little I can because I know there are other people out there doing it, and collectively we can change the world. Is that how you feel?
Well, first of all, most people ask me, what can I do to make a difference? I feel so helpless. And people know that there's a tremendous amount of destruction in the world. And with the earth changes coming and the environment being destroyed, there is a tremendous amount of work to be done on the planet. The AIDS condition for me coming from Africa, 50% of the continent of Africa are dying of AIDS. I mean, there's just so many areas. There's Holocausts going on and so forth, and global warming, and, really, where do we start? Where do we begin? And what I tell people is that a life of service is what's going to bring us the most joy. So there's a million projects available. There's a million, billion foundations and organizations available where you can volunteer and join in or donate money to be able to help with major earth causes, spiritual groups that are doing that and so forth, and humanitarian groups. So anything that people can do to help and contribute in any area of service will make a difference, and as long as you're actively doing that and seeking a way to do that, being of service will bring us greater joy. And so I feel that everybody can make a difference, every single soul. But the greatest difference people can make is by changing themselves, by really changing themselves within and awakening themselves, raising their own consciousness, will make the greatest difference on the planet right now, beyond anything else, you know, that, you know, you change yourself and the whole world will change. Just by one soul awakening, it helps the total consciousness to awaken. So both changing yourself within and then being of service to society in a humanitarian or spiritual way, those are tremendous blessings.
Well, we encourage people to not only check out the book, Samadhi, but also check out the website, mirabaidevi.org. And we encourage you to stay with us. We're coming close to the end of the program. We still have a few minutes following this break. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, bringing you new choices and knowledge of those choices to help fulfill your dreams, bring joy into your life and the lives of those around you. And one of the things I've always believed is that if you change yourself, you are going to change the people around you. That is a given. You could even talk to Einstein about that. Stay tuned. More Tell Me Your Story coming up. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, New Paradigms for a New World. My guest, Mirabai Devi. And we want to talk a little bit about your private sessions and what takes place in those and how people, again, we'll give the information on how people can get in touch with you. But tell us a little about, a bit about the private sessions.
The private sessions are very important for people because they're an opportunity for each individual to do a large piece of work on themselves and on their lives to be able to heal themselves. And I have seen and witnessed millions of miracles throughout the course of my work, 15 years, because the divine light always works. It is absolutely phenomenal. I'm just the channel and the instrument, and I get to step out of the way and watch people's lives get transformed through divine grace again and again and again. And it doesn't matter what the circumstance is, whether it's for a physical healing or whether it's a life challenge like a job, a career, a relationship, or whether it has to do with spiritual awakening. I like to allow people to have that direct experience with the divine and teach them how to be able to access it directly, but initially giving them the direct connection. And that direct connection is given through transmission of divine light, transmission of healing, lifting up and developing, evolving people's consciousness, teaching people forgiveness, how to truly forgive from their hearts and release all kinds of resentment, pain, hurt, and past emotions that keep us stuck and prevent us from healing, and help people to remove all kinds of blockages, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual blockages to their happiness, their abundance, their success, their perfect health, their perfect relationship, their career, and so forth. And so basically, sessions are really on an individual basis different with every person. And it's done through looking at the cause of what's going on in that person's life, finding the cause, and then healing and changing the cause by changing the person's reality. And the symptoms change. When the cause is healed, the symptoms are changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done through, as I said, it's alchemical, and it's done through the grace of the divine light, which is specifically comes through prayer and transmission and practices.
Tell me, what does your name mean, Mirabai Devi, in the last 30 seconds?
I'd love to, and sessions are available by phone year-round as well as in person on a very rare basis. My name was given to me by a spiritual student or follower of Swami Satchidananda, and it means the embodiment of devotion. She was a 16th century princess saint called Princess Mirabai, who composed love poems to Lord Krishna.
Mm.
Embodiment of devotion.
Beautiful. And we're going to have folks get in touch with you through your website, mirabaidevi.org. They can also find out about the private sessions by calling 760-436-6561, 760-436-6561. And you can also email her info at mirabaidevi.org. And I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program today. And we look forward to having you back in about roughly 6 months, 5.5 to 6 months or so, to talk about another subject that we'll be letting folks know about later on. But again, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much, Richard, for hosting me. I really enjoyed it. It was a wonderful opportunity, and may this light radiate out and touch all the listeners and transform their hearts and their lives.
Thank you so much. Stay on the line. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, and we're going to be bringing you programs like this and others. We're talking about near death and sudden death. Sudden death syndrome next Saturday on this program. What is it, and who does it affect? How many people, and what happens in those experiences? My guest, Betty Bird, will be here. She is an author, and she is going to be sharing with us her experiences of sudden death syndrome, sort of our continuing series on transition and out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, and so forth. So we want you to join us here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you so much for joining us. Go to richarddugan.com and check out the radio programs. Love to Lal. Have a great week, everybody.